welcome to the 218th episode of the Cracked Die podcast.
Woohoo! New book!
218.
New book, who dis?
No, that's Absalom in order.
No, we're never reaching a new book in that game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's new session, who dis?
That's more like new PC, who dis?
Yeah. New character, who dis? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to book 5 of the Cracked Die podcast.
So, we don't really have much to go over from last session, other than you guys had some really amazing roleplay. And then you had Noli Peltry come and visit y'all in Finderplan, which I'm probably saying wrong. There were a couple of guys who were up to no good, started making trouble in her neighborhood. She asked you to go investigate it, and you said, sure, we'll help you out, and you're going to go try out that new key.
Yeah, my notes say, short lady showed up, desert bakery under attack. That's what my notes say.
That's right, because a halfling hideout is absolutely a bakery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it was a bar in the first place you met her, so, you know, not too terribly wrong. So you make your way to the basement of your citadel, and you make your way to the Ayudara, and as you have with many of the other portals, pushed the key, which is the chisel, up to the portal. This gate is decorated with images of stags cavorting before the setting sun. Let me make a quick sequence check for all of you.
Make sure to use our new level 15 stats, Sean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nope. Not gonna do it.
Oh, well.
Oh, okay.
Well, fine then. Okay. I don't have to follow the rules either then.
All right, we're all level 20 then.
All my bombs do like 8d20 damage and...
Oh, shit.
So, Soraya and Brianna both have 2 hero points. Knife Sword and Twin Talon only have 1.
Heresy.
They're all expired, Rob.
I kept them in Ziploc. They should be fine.
They could still go moldy. It's disappointing, I know, but...
Dangerous pastime, too.
Just gonna add more salt next time.
All right. So who notices this? Let's see. Brianna.
Uh-huh. Sorry.
No worries.
You call me off guard.
You notice that the workmanship of this portal is actually, it looks slightly better than the other portals.
Well, the deity that this is associated with is one of architecture.
Very good, Matt. Hero point.
Thank you.
However, you do notice that some of the decorations on the outside of it, you notice that some on the bottom particularly, it looks like these stags and whatnot have been inlaid with like silver, and the bottom of these stags where the silver is looks like it's kind of tarnished. Does silver patina, or does silver just like go dull and gray and stuff like that?
I feel like it patinas.
You mean get that black corrosion on it?
Yeah. Well, that's what you see kind of crawling up the silver, as the rest of the stags don't look like there's anything happening to them.
Well, looks like I have some work to do here, tidying this gate up later on. But we do have the key for this one, yes?
Twin Town will pull out his chisel.
Aha.
And hold it up to the gate.
Put that away, Matt.
What?
No. This is the key.
Ooze gone. You don't have to show that anymore.
Just gonna wave it in front of the gate.
So as you touch the chisel to the gate, you see that the doorway turns misty with like a soft orangey yellow glow, like a sunset. And then it sinks into the ground like the sun setting over a foggy horizon.
I feel like this gate is beautiful.
You're beautiful. It's true. As you step through the gate, the antechamber that you're in, the walls are 15 feet tall with delicately arching ceilings that peak at a height of 20 feet at their centers. The walls are smoothed hewn stone, are decorated with shallowly carved friezes, fading frescoes, or intricate mosaics consisting of thousands of precisely cut tiles. The entire place radiates with a dim light, as if lit by the setting sun, yet no obvious source for the illumination is apparent. This broad antechamber features 4 towering, elaborate frescoes that depict elves creating various forms of art, dance, music, sculpture, and metalwork. 4 archways lead from the room's corners to the other chambers, and above each arch towers the sculpted form of an imposing elven woman with one hand raised towards the ceiling and the other hand holding an elegant staff.
Do we recognize this figure?
Let me make some more secret tunnels. I mean, secret checks. Actually, I don't even have to make these secret checks. You guys can roll these. If you would like to look at the art a bit closer, you can either use crafting or religion to recall knowledge or lore architecture.
I think I have elven lore. Would that apply?
Absolutely.
Nice.
Brenna rolled a 34 on religion.
Okay.
Saraya got a 36 on elven lore.
Okay.
Twin Talon got a 35 on lore architecture.
Great. So, as you all kind of look around, you discern that the four murals depict four of the traditional elven crafts associated with the elven goddess Find... Oh, whew, all right, here we go. New book, new names. Here we go, here. Shaking it out, here we go. Findeladlara.
Findeladlara.
Yeah, that sounds right. They're the goddess of art, architecture, and twilight. She is depicted above each of the archways. In addition, you determine that the metal craft depicted involves Dawn Silver.
Ooh.
I wonder if the tarnished ones on the bottom of the thing are actually silver, and then the ones that haven't been tarnished are Dawn Silver.
Is that something I could look at?
Well, I think the tarnished ones were in the gate before we left, right?
I wonder if the tarnished ones on the bottom of the thing are actually silver, and then the ones that haven't been tarnished are Dawn Silver.
Is that something I could look at?
Well, I think the tarnished ones were in the gate before we left, right?
Yes, it's on the other side of the gate, yeah.
Can I poke my head through?
I mean, you could. Yeah, I mean, you can walk out and walk back in. The gate doesn't close until you go out the other side, so.
Brianna will go ahead and do that just out of curiosity.
All right, go ahead and give me either a crafting or a religion check.
They're the same. I must say crafting since she's looking as a, fuck me, 26.
Yeah, it just looks like the stag's feet are dirty. That's what it looks like.
Right, but is it... Anyway, okay. Stag feet dirty. That's fine.
You can't figure it out.
Got something in my eye. Okay, let's go back.
Yeah.
Shoop. So remind me of the name of the halfling town. Is it that we want to go help?
It is called Finderplane. F-I-N-D-E-R-P-L-A-I-N. Finderplane.
Does sound similar to this goddess.
Certainly does. But it seems like almost like an insult. You aren't even interesting. You're Fender playing.
Brianna will utter a quiet just prayer of thanks for them stepping into Findeladlara's waypoint, way station.
Not so easy, is it?
Listen, I can't speak in any language, so leave me alone. Okay, I suppose we continue on to find those that need our help, yes?
Yeah.
I suppose we usually end up running into someone unpleasant in these spaces.
You are right. Brianna will raise her shield.
Ooh, look at you being all fancy-like. And you're using your reforging shield, right?
Yeah.
All right. Boop.
Oh, guys, my armor class is now 42.
Yay!
Nice. Which talisman would you like on it? The one that fixes it or the one that lets you get a reaction to, like, push people back?
Let's do the reaction one.
Okay, that's a reverberating stone.
And I'm going to assume that you crafted one of those already.
She's probably crafted like 8 or 10, and she's got them like in her pockets waiting to put new ones on because they're single use. So it's a greater reverberating stone. It is a reaction. The trigger is you use the affixed shield to shield block a melee attack, so it has to be melee. Are you a master in athletics?
Yes, I'm a master in athletics.
Perfect, because that is a requirement. When you activate the talisman, the gem shatters, releasing a powerful shockwave in a 30-foot cone, and each creature takes 3d6 sonic damage with a DC 34 fort save.
Nice.
I will add it to your shield. Give me a second.
And if Twin Talon would like, I'm sure he could also have a lion claw ready, probably one for each of his blades if he would like.
Yeah, the lion claw would seem to be like basically do a pounce, right?
Yes, so it's one action to stride and then strike, and you aren't detected until after you strike. So one action to move up to them and hit them in the same action.
Cool.
Yeah, and since you are basically stealthing all the time, you're pretty much undetected by most things most of the time.
Yep, unless they have good perceptions.
And how many of those do you think you made beforehand?
Probably also about 8 to 10.
She had 4 to 6 months, and she's been busy.
Yeah, we had 4 to 6 months, and I'm legendary at crafting, which means I can do things a lot quicker and in bulk.
Yeah, I'm aware.
And then the ruby capacitor was the one that she was making for knife sword. So a greater one. This cluster of unworked ruby is bound to the top of a staff by silver wire. When activated at the greater level, 3 temporary charges to the staff. Any spells cast from the staff before the end of the turn expend these charges first. So I think you can activate it as a free action, and then you have 3 charges to use that don't take the slots that are on the staff.
What is the tiger called?
The lion claw.
Did you say what's a tiger called?
No, I was looking for the item that she was giving to you. And Christine, I will give you 20 of each of your bombs that you've crafted normally.
Of each of my bombs?
That you normally, you know how you normally prepare?
So 20 each of 5 different ones, because I've got 5 that I tend to go to.
Yeah.
Okay.
I figure that's fair, right?
I was like, of every single one of my bombs, what do you say?
No, you wouldn't be able to walk. Are you kidding me?
I have my sleeves of holding.
And what was the ruby one called? I'm sorry for Rob.
It's a ruby capacitor.
Greater ruby capacitor. All right. So I'm giving you 11 of each of those talismans. I've moved 1 to each of the people so far. So you're carrying 10 extra on top of the one that's already attached. I'm trying to be nice. You've gone through some shit, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then I assume your other shield that does not mend itself has the mending lattice on it, Rana? That's the one where it's a reaction and it instantly heals it if it would be broken or if it takes damage.
Yeah, that would be lovely. Thank you.
And remember, we can swap things as a single action now.
Oh, yes.
Ah, so good.
So, thanks to the lovely Discord, we found out that I don't know if you guys knew this already and just weren't going to tell me about it, that in the remaster, there is now a standard one action ability called Switch. I think that's what it's called.
It's called Swap.
Or Swap, where you can draw and stow an item in one action, as opposed to what it was before, which was I take one action to stow an item, I take one action to find the item, and one action to draw the item.
Yeah, because dropping things was just... Ugh.
Yeah, it was rough. Okay, so you've raised your shield. Rob, do you have any spells that you kind of just cast for funsies on yourself?
On myself?
Like Mystic Armor?
Yeah, Mystic Armor or Mirror Image or anything like that.
I mean, I do have Mage Armor, but I do have Mystic Armor.
Would you have cast that on yourself?
When I remember, yes.
Okay. I will put it on you then. Is there any other preparations that you guys would have done before you walked through?
No, I don't think so. I think we're good for now.
No.
Great. So you're in this antechamber next to the uncle chamber.
Get out.
I saw when it touched the regular chamber, it exploded.
Goodbye.
No, come back.
Nope.
They need you more than you know. All right. So what are you all doing? You see there's an exit to the northeast, the southeast, and the southwest.
So straight ahead would be southeast. Looks like I can see a portal or something, maybe.
Yeah, light filtering through, maybe.
But to our right, there looks to be some debris. So Twin Talon's interested in heading that way, to the southwest, just to see what's there.
Brianna will follow along with her shield raised.
As you go to exit from here, you notice that the intricately painted elves in the murals on all 4 walls start to ripple, and you see that they pull themselves out of the art and start to grow. And you see this same silver that was on the outside of the Ayudara with that same blemish color. Is all of the dawn silver on them has the same tarnish, and they go to attack you.
Gosh darn it.
Oh boy.
How did they know I was here?
I told them.
Probably because I'm clanking along next to you.
That's true.
Let's be real. They knew the rest of us were here.
Yeah. So would you all please roll initiative? You may use stealth if you would like, Matt. Okay. What did you all roll? Let's start with Twin Talon.
Twin Talon rolled a 43.
Nice.
Goodness gracious. Christine, what did you roll?
Saraya has a 31.
Rob?
I got a 31.
You want to go before or after me?
You guys can make the choice.
Rock, paper, scissors?
I mean, we can just put RPS in the chat.
Wait, which chat?
That's the other question. Doesn't really matter to me, though.
You just wanted to roll a d20, higher one goes first?
Sure.
All right.
I've never seen two people. No, you go first. No, you go first.
Really, Canadian?
Yeah, we're both like, I'm not a caster, or at least, you know, but like, neither of us are like, oh my God, let's run in there and get into melee people.
Yeah, right.
Fair enough.
Rob has rolled higher, so he will go first.
All right. Knife, sword, then Saraya. All right. So let us begin combat. Up first, shocking no one. His twin talent.
All right. Well, so it looks like they're golems. Yeah.
I mean, they were art pieces that have pulled themselves free, grown from like little paintings to larger, like large creatures. An elf from each of the four murals pulls itself free from the pictures, in the process growing dramatically and assuming a three-dimensional form. They still look like paintings, but they're now three-dimensional.
Okay, so Twin Talon will strike.
All right.
Okay, so that's a 42 to hit.
Oh,
nice.
That is a critical hit.
Great.
Hell yeah.
Also, I'm doing the debilitation thing where they take extra damage next time and they start bleeding 3d6 damage. Can you draw me a crit hit card? Did you say you have to do that?
Yes, I cannot. You know why? Immune to critical hits.
Okay, then I will do regular damage. So that is 38 damage.
All right. So they also are immune to bleed.
Okay. And it looks like they have 10 points of resistances.
Yes, some of the damage does not go through.
Cool. I guess I'll attack again.
But you did precisely debilitate them.
I did. And my next attack, I'm going to use the other two debilitations that I have, assuming I hit. 39 to hit.
That is a hit, but not a crit.
Okay. So that's 48 points of damage.
All right.
So they get enfeebled 1, negative 10 to speed. They technically have 3d6 bleed, although it doesn't do anything to them. And I have the thing where I do extra damage on my attacks. And as my last action, I'm going to hide.
Scaredy cat.
Do I make a stealth check versus their perception DC? Or do they make a perception versus a stealth DC?
That is a good question.
Action. Hide. The GM rolls your stealth check in secret and compares the result to the perception DC of each creature you're observed by, but that you have cover or greater. I don't need to have cover.
All right, so let me roll a stealth check for you.
And compares it to the perception DC of each creature.
Okay. Success. Critical success. Failure. Critical failure. Got it. All right. It is now one of the stoned golem. Oh, just told you what they were. turns. So the creature marches to flank Brianna.
Welcome back.
Because it doesn't know if Twin Talon is there or not. Next up is another one of my creatures. It's going to double move and 10 feet. No, you are not. Now you are. Brianna is within 10 feet, so it is going to swing a fist at you.
Okie dokie.
Isn't it 42? Is that your AC now?
Correct.
That is a miss.
Okay.
That was its turn. Next up is another one of mine. Ooh, and this is the one that is directly in front of Brianna.
Oh, lovely.
It's the one that is enfeebled. So it's going to swing once at Brianna. And miss. Second attack at Brianna. Critical miss. Did we say when it's immune to criticals, it's immune to critical misses too, right?
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. I believe the phrasing was everyone draws crit misses.
That's right.
Yep.
all right. This is card number 16. Unarmed. Twist up. You are encumbered until you spend 2 interact actions to free yourself.
It's got to get used to this whole moving thing again. It's too many limbs.
Yeah, that's gross. All right. An encumbered.
You're clumsy one and you take a 10-foot penalty to all your speeds.
Great. Love it.
So it's got a 20-foot penalty to all the speeds? Or?
Yeah. Well, it's going to just swing one more time at Brianna because why not? That is a... Wait, what? How does that hit?
Am I flat-footed?
You are off guard, but I... that's how it hits. Okay, so I rolled a total of 35. which would be normally be a miss, but I rolled a natural 20, so it is a hit.
I'd like to use a hero point to make you reroll that.
All right.
Aw, thanks, honey.
Yeah.
Taking away that hero point, I will reroll and keep the lower result. There we go. That's a 20. So that is another critical miss. All right. This is number 56 from Finder of Path and Stars.
Yay!
Unarmed. There's a wall there. As if by magic, a wall of force manifests just long enough to protect your opponents before dissipating. Take 1d4 damage per damage die you would have rolled had your attack hit the target. So I rolled 2d4. 2d4. So I'll let this bypass their DR because they're doing it to themselves.
Sounds good and fair.
So they take all 6 points of damage. But hey, a free 6 points of damage is better than nothing.
Nothing to sneeze at.
Mm-hmm. All right. Next up is Knife Sword.
So I'm going to try out something new, and I'm going to put the moves on the dude in front of us.
Oh.
So I'm going to cast Uncontrollable Dance.
Yes.
All right. So I need you to make a will save DC 36, please.
All right, let's see. Here we go. Will save. That is a 24.
That's a critical failure? Is that how this works?
Yep.
Yes.
So the spell's duration is 1 minute, and the target must spend all its actions each turn dancing. Oh, it's also off guard and can't use reactions.
I love it.
So as this golem is pulling itself free and looking around, suddenly the music hits in its head. And it starts to sidestep, and then step to the left, and then step to the right, and then it starts to shake its hips.
Apparently, the dance is the cha-cha slide.
Yep.
It is irresistible, I guess.
Yeah. It is. It's unstoppable. That's what it is.
I mean, if you play that at, like, any wedding, everyone is there. Grandmas, bridesmaids, it doesn't matter. All right, Rob, you have, I believe that's two actions. You have one action left.
Yep. With my final action, I was going to pull out a recorder and start playing, but I don't have one. So I'm going to magic missile.
All right.
So let's do a level 6 magic missile.
Okay. Also, Matt, did you want Taysani to move anywhere on your turn?
Is she on the map? I don't see her.
I have her as the little shadowy group loot thing.
Oh, she's fine where she is. She's protecting the other people.
Okay.
Oh, it's not called magic missile anymore, guys. It's called Force Barrage. That'll be 11 damage from my disco lights.
All right. And it's still dancing.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Slide to the left. Slide to the right.
Crisscross.
Crisscross. As the crisscross happens, the room shakes. All right. Next up is Soraya.
I'm going to recall knowledge.
All right. Give me Arcana or Crafting.
Let us see. Let's do crafting. 32. That's a 4 on the die.
That is enough. These are indeed stone golems. They are uncommon, large, constructs, golem, and mindless. What two questions would you like to ask?
What actually works against them?
All right. So are you asking immunities or resistances or weaknesses?
Weaknesses.
None.
Okay, resistances.
They are resistant to physical damage for 10 points, except for adamantine.
Damn it.
You still have an adamantine pick, don't you?
Do I? I thought U took it.
No, she has the battle axe. You have the pick.
Okay. I do. I see it now.
Do I also get their immunities or no?
I'll give them to you. Don't say I'm not nice. They are immune to acid, bleed, criticals, death effects, disease, doomed, drained, fatigued, healing, mental, non-lethal, paralyzation, poisoned, sickened, spirit, unconsciousness, vitality, and void damage. However, because they are golems, they are immune to all magic except for these ones are harmed by cold and water magic. They are healed by acid magic and slowed by earth magic.
Okay, and I think we've established for the purposes of golems, my bombs do not count as magic, or do they?
Alchemy is distinctly different than magic in this system, so no.
So unless it has the magic trait?
Correct.
Okay.
Don't hit them with acid magic, hit them with cold or water magic, or earth magic to slow them down.
Alrighty. And they are completely immune to void and vitality?
Yes.
And they're resistant to all physical damage unless it's somebody adamantine weapons.
Alrighty, how do I want to do this? Alright, so nothing that's going to make them bleed, because they don't. Nothing against poison, because it won't do anything. Alright, 36 to hit the golem.
That is a hit!
Come on.
Yay!
Hell yeah!
Alrighty, 16 cold splash. 16 cold damage, sorry, plus 3 cold splash.
Alright.
Is it dead?
Close! It, in fact, was not close.
Damn it!
39.
39 will hit again. Stop it.
All right.
18 damage plus 3 splash.
Woo, woo, woo.
And those are my 3 actions.
Hell yes.
I think that's what Heidi would do, so I'm just trying to keep it up.
Yeah, right.
All right. That's a girl.
Yeah.
All right. Next up is Brianna.
Finally, she was very distracted by all the pretty pictures and didn't realize that things were coming to life, I guess. So, Christine, does Saraya share the information she found out with the rest of the group?
Oh, yeah, no, she's shouting that out to everyone.
Excellent. So Brianna nods and will take an action to sheath her scimitar and draw her pick, her adamantine pick.
Get some physical damage.
And then she will take a quick look between the three that are pinning her to this wall, let's be honest, because she saw that suddenly Twin Talon is not with her. She's like, you know what? I'm doing my job. I'm keeping them looking at me, I guess. Here we go. So she will face off against the southernmost one, the one to her right. And then she will strike. Okay, there we go. She will strike with her adamantine pick for a 38.
That is a hit.
Nice.
Yes.
All right.
Fuck yeah.
Take him down.
You take 17 points of damage.
And I hate to ask this question, but it reminds me every time. Hey, Matt, would you like to use opportune backstab?
Heck yeah, I would.
All right. Go ahead.
Is that reactive murder?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. I haven't changed the programming to say reactive murder, but I could.
All right. And which one were you attacking? The one to the north or the south? South. Got it. Okay. So I'm still targeting that one.
I figured to chip away one at a time.
And it is off guard to both of us, correct?
Yes.
Ooh.
Because remember how gang up changed? Now everybody get benefits from me.
If there's more than one of you in melee, everyone is flanking.
It's fine. That would have been a crit, but again, they're immune to crits, so that's fine. But I will remember that from now on. 34 is a hit, Matt.
Cool. Then I will re-up the precision and enfeebled one. 53 damage.
Jeezy crazy.
Hell yeah.
All right. Haya, your second action?
It worked once, so let me do it again.
All right, why not?
Yeah. Ugh, I critically missed with a 22, but I think I have a couple hero points. I'm going to give you one.
Yummy.
And I'm going to reroll.
All right, that's fair. You had two, now you got one. There you go.
Ooh, what the fuck?
What? I rolled the same thing.
No. All right. As my house rule goes, roll one more time.
Okay. It went to a critical hit instead? Is that what happened?
Yeah, but if you had rolled 3 critical misses in a row, I would have given you a hit.
Lame.
So your critical miss is number 54 from D.
Uh-oh.
Hi, D.
Hi, D.
And this is a melee attack. Your weapon bounces off the ground and bounces back into the face of your opponent. Shuffle the crit hit deck and draw a crit hit and do that instead. However, since you can't crit, you can just roll damage like you hit.
Thank you, D.
If there's a time to get that card, it's now. Yeah. Thank you so much, D. So I'm going to roll damage for 13 points of damage.
All right. And that all goes right through the Dawn Silver that exists. You have one more action.
I think we're going to be cautious and careful since there are three surrounding Brianna. She's going to raise her shield as her final action.
Makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yep.
All right, it is now the last golem's turn. It's like the last unicorn, except rockier. and less loving. It is the one that is directly in front of Soraya and Knife Sword and Taysani. It is going to use one of its abilities called Inexorable March. The golem strides up to its speed, pushing back each creature whose space it moves into and damaging them if they try and stop its movement.
So, just curious, which one is dancing?
Son of a biscuit. He has switched from the cha-cha slide to the Cupid shuffle. Is the top of round two. Matt, it is your turn.
All right, so Twin Talon is going to attack the one to the south. That is a 45.
That would be a crit, but it is a hit.
That is 46 damage.
All right, let's see how that... All right, it's still... He's still standing. But as you swipe through with your... What do you use? You use a scimitar, right? No.
No, short sword.
Short sword, yeah. So as you swipe through with your short sword, the art... that this golem is made up of. It's a mosaic, and you just see chunks of the mosaic tiles flying off left and right, and there's just a very skinny skeletal form left of this stone golem. Not actually skeleton, it's just very skinny. It's very thin now from all of the tiles coming off.
All right, attack again. 45.
That is another hit.
Another 50 damage.
Would you like to describe how you destroy this beautiful piece of art?
Sadly, Twin Talon... just keep stabbing over and over again until the tiles shatter and it falls to broken dust at his feet. One tear, single tear rolls down his cheek. Then he yells, "Ninja vanish!" And he hides. There's no smoke or anything. He just disappears in the middle of the room.
If you can still hear me, you are terrifying.
And Taysani is going to then attack the one in front of her. Yeah, I don't know what her attacks and stuff are since they're not here, but...
It's plus 20... to their attack, and 1d6 plus 4 for damage.
It's got to be more than that. I don't know what it is, because unfortunately Demiplane, for whatever reason, doesn't have the Cave Pterosaur, because the second adventure path is the one that they were just like, nah, but it's at least 2d6 plus something, and I don't remember.
All right, I will look this up.
So if she was a plus 20, it would be a 30 to hit. Would that hit?
Yeah, that would hit.
Okay, so let's do 2d6 plus 5, because that's probably close to what it is. It's 11, so probably one damage goes through.
Yep, but hey, I'm dancing here. All right, so now it is the stone golem who is to Brianna and Twin Talon's north. Because it's mindless and dumb. It only swings at what it can see. So it's going to swing at Brianna. Here comes the first punch. That is a 36 to hit.
That'll miss. Clang off the shield.
Clang. Second attack is a 40.
That'll also miss because I said I raised my shield and my AC is 42.
Boing. And third attack is a critical miss.
Nice.
All right, this is number 49, Pinched Nerve. I don't know how this works, but until healed, you take a 10-foot circumstance penalty to land speed and are clumsy one. Well, that was pointless. Next up is the golem to your east, Brianna, and it is going to continue to swing at you. Again, they're mindless. 41.
That'll still miss.
Second attack. 39.
We'll miss.
Third attack. Critical miss. All right. Number 19. Unarmed. Sprained. Until healed, you are clumsy too. Everybody getting clumsy.
Everybody is getting clumsy.
And the golem to the north is like, just dance, guys. It's so much better. I just want to dance. All right. It is now the dead golem's turn. Great. Rob, it is Knife Sword's turn.
Okay. Ooh. I'm going to take it easy because I'm going to try to like not use all my spells at one time. So this time I'm just going to cast a simple electric arc through the one in front of me.
By the way, you learned that it is resistant to all magic. Except for cold and water.
Okay.
And if you cast acid magic, it will heal it.
Well, then we're just going to use telekinetic bombardment.
Ooh.
I'm going to cast telekinetic bombardment, and I'm going to basically bring chunks of the roof down onto them.
Oh, boy. Okay.
They can take a reflex save. Looks like I'm hitting two of them.
Yep. I'm making the second one right now. 32 and 24.
One is a failure. One is a critical failure.
Great.
The failure is going to take full damage and is knocked prone. The critical failure is going to take double damage and is knocked prone and is stunned one. And the amount of damage that I rolled was 46.
Okay, so the regular damage is the one closest to you, and they're knocked prone?
Yes.
And the one that critically failed is taking double damage and also knocked prone. That is the one directly to Brianna's south. North, I'm sorry, directly to your north.
Yeah, I was getting worried when you said south. I was like, but that would put her within the range of the damage, and I didn't want to do that.
Believe it or not, we try not to hit our friends.
So they're both prone. One is trying to dance while prone. And then for my last action, I'm going to grab a snack out of my backpack.
You have a backpack?
Yeah, I have a backpack that goes in your backpack. It's backpackception.
Backpack, backpack.
Christine, it is Soraya's turn.
It's been working so far, so let's keep throwing some alchemical nastiness at this guy. That's a critical hit, but it doesn't count as anything, so I'm going to roll my damage. It was a 45 on the roll. 15 and the 3 slash, which it just absorbs.
No, that goes through. It's not physical damage.
It's different.
Alchemical.
All right, trying it again. That's a miss for a 29. That was an 8 on the die. I have a hero point. Why not? 38.
That'll hit.
So we're just watching like more and more frost kind of like create cracks and stuff in this metal as this goes on. 21 and 3 more splash.
All right.
Nice.
Very nice.
And then I don't necessarily want to do it for the third one because I don't trust it. I really don't. So I think I'm gonna double brew some stuff and that way I have one in each hand for next turn.
Double fisting.
Hey, gotta double fist the alchemy.
I miss Ooh. Anyway, Brianna, it is your turn.
Yeah, it is Brianna's turn. And she will now turn to the northern golem and grip her pickaxe and swing away. And I rolled a 37.
That is a hit.
Bwahaha. For 13 damage.
All right. Hey, Matt, would you like to use...
Opportune backstab. Yes, I would. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Reactive murder. Here we go. This is the one to the north. That is a 36.
That's a hit.
All right. So then I will put on it enfeebled and the precision damage. So that's 35.
Damage?
35 damage, yeah.
All right, I guess I have no choice. All right. Haya, would you like to take your second action?
I would. Brianna will strike again for a 38.
That's another hit.
Ha ha! For 16 points of damage.
All right, last action.
She will raise her shield again.
All right, so the one that is prone on the ground near Soraya and Taisani and Knife Sword is going to continue to breakdance because it's prone. Check out these sweet moves. They can't even talk, so, you know, whatever. But
here's my favorite thing. Frostwiles give them a minus 10 speed penalty. So are they doing this all in slow-mo?
Yo, yeah. Matt, it is your turn.
All right. So Twin Talon will continue his assault on this golem to the north. He already put the enfeebled and precision on there, so he'll go with off guard and speed penalty. That's a 44.
That's a hit.
So that's 42 damage.
Okay.
Holy cow.
Attack again. It's a 39 to hit.
That is a hit.
That's 58 damage.
Describe how you destroy this priceless work of art.
It has got a piercing weapon, so he's just like shattering the tiles one at a time until he gets the right combination and it can't stand under its own weight and it collapses.
Mm-hmm. This is all just really annoying, elaborate jingle.
Yeah. And for his third action, he's going to do the Batusi and he's going to disappear with his stealth check. And then Taisani is going to attack the golem to the north. That's a 28 to hit.
That will miss.
It's a miss. Okay, that's her turn.
All right. It is now the golem on Brianna and Twin Talon's east. It is going to swing at Brianna for a 37.
That'll miss.
Second attack, 34.
Ooh, getting dangerously low there, friend. Miss.
Third attack is a critical miss. This is number dose, bruised ego. You can't attack another creature until the target is knocked out or the end of my next turn. Well, it's a good thing it hasn't stopped focusing on you. All right, that's its turn. Mm-hmm. Rob, it is Knife Sword's turn.
This poor guy. All right, I'm going to cast Cone of Hold.
Oh, very nice.
But first, I think I'm going to move up to see Cone of Cold. So that was one. My movement was one action. And I got to place my cone. That's 81 cold. There's a basic reflex save?
It is not. It is 5d10 damage.
Because any cold magic damage is always 5d10.
Okay, but it told me to roll 16d6 plus 7.
No, I know. That's the spell normally, but because it's a golem, all cold magic does the same amount, no matter what the level of the spell is.
Okay, so that's 27 cold damage, and there's a basic reflex save. He's still prone? He's prone, right?
Yeah, his reflex save is in the toilet right now. All right, here we go. So when a number is in red, that means it's a natural one, right?
That is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So 21 for the first one, and for the other one, 25.
And the number you were looking for was 36.
So they both critically fail?
Great. So I'm going to just take double damage real quick. All right. They're still standing. Barely.
Not quite stronger than they've ever been.
Oh, definitely not stronger than they have ever been.
All right. Well, that will be my turn.
Lovely. Lovely. Christine.
So last round, I finished up by making some delightful bottled lightning. So I will throw the first one at the one that is near death near us.
All right.
For a 33.
That is a hit.
Nice.
Very nice.
13 plus 3 lightning damage.
Would you like to describe your kill?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So this entire time, it's just been getting like frosty and like rhyming over and like metal. And like it kind of does that like raw shear thing when it just kind of pulls apart. It doesn't really like snap. And then the electricity just runs through it all and it just like kind of collapses onto the ground. And then I am going to take like 10, 15 feet of motion here to move a little bit closer and throw the second one that I made at the one that is near Brianna because I can't see Twin Talon. he hiding and he good at that. Drawing the second bottle of lightning.
There's a vaguely Twin Talon shaped outline near you.
Yeah, there's something just like gently whelming in the distance. Targeting the other guy. Oh, 23.
You have a hero point.
I know, that was a 2, but I only have one left. I'm fine, I'll use it. 27. Still a miss. It takes 3 lightning splash.
It does.
Wahahaha.
All right, Haya, it is your turn.
It is. I think Brianna is going to try and step forward and then maybe suddenly feel Twin Town. Sorry. And then she will move to the left of him to step up to the remaining golem. And she will strike for a 40 fucking 6.
Nice. I wish that you could crit on these things.
Right? I know. Alas, alack. 13 points of damage.
Matt.
Yep. Bam. 44 to hit. That is 36 damage. And I will put on the precision damage for next time and then in feet.
Yep.
Nice.
All right. Haya, action 2.
Action 2. She will strike again for another critical hit. Gosh darn it. And she will do 15 points of damage.
Your dice are trying to make up for the double ones.
All right.
Yeah, right. And I'm a one trick pony, guys. She will raise her shield.
Hey, you know, it works.
Well, if the trick ain't broken, don't fix it.
Right?
Yep.
All right. It is the top of round 5. However, we are going to end the episode here.
Whatever, Sean.
What?
5?
What?
So my golems can regroup.
You mean golem?
I just wanted to keep breakdancing.
Henry, bye guys.
Bye.
Bye
guys.
Thank you for listening to the Cracked Eye Podcast. Please visit us at crackedeyepodcast.com. Pathfinder 2nd Edition and Age of Ashes Adventure Path are property of Paizo. Background audio was provided by Sirenscape because epic games deserve epic music. Please visit them at sirenscape.com. Additional background music was provided by Epidemic Sound. Please visit them at Epidemic Sound. The Cracked Eye podcast theme was composed by Angelo Di Loreto. He is forever missed. This episode was edited by Nathan. Please visit them on Twitter at @editingnate. Finally, thank you to all our patrons for assisting us in breathing life into this production. We do not know where we'd be without them. Our esteemed patrons are Cassandra Connors, Doombeard, Finder of Path and Stars, Jacob Wilhelmi, Anwar Musa, Jason Leach, John Jack Rosason, Margaret Torello, Mike Minutillo, Shaka Jamal, Sean Moore, Thomas Beard, Chris Simmons, Corey Fellers, Knight, Big Dog Matt, Cameron Heenan. If you'd like to join our Patreon, please visit patreon.com/crackdiepodcast.